Welcome to Happy Talks with Dr. Alice and Donovan. Dr. Alice Fong is a holistic naturopathic doctor and founder of Amor de Soi Wellness. And Donovan Jensen is a software engineer and founder of HowToHappy.com. Together, they're out to cause more happiness in the world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Happy Talks. My name is Dr. Alice, and this is my awesome co-host, Donovan. And today, we are talking about how to deal with criticism. I think we've all been there. So, Donovan, what are your initial thoughts when it comes to dealing with criticism?
Yeah, so the first thing that comes to mind for me is that if you want to progress or do anything public, and that means even at like a very small scale, it doesn't mean like be a professional athlete or like something that has a lot of scrutiny, but like just anything, like make videos, make content, oftentimes get like promotions, right? Because a lot of times like up to the manager level, even just like frontline manager, you still need a little bit thicker of a skin. So really to make progress in any of those realms, you generally have to be able to handle criticism, or at least you're going to get criticism, right? Like whether or not you can handle it is another thing, but it's going to start flowing towards you. And I think that there are a few simple sort of mindset tweaks or sort of like strategies that you can use to make criticism a lot more digestible than it typically would be otherwise, because at least in my experience, sort of the natural response for myself and for other people I see is like typically very defensive, or like tries to like, oh, well, this person doesn't like this, but they're wrong because of this, or it's just a lot of like defensive posturing to sort of try to like feel right more of the time.
Right.
But I think there are some things you can do to get around that. Before I ramble on forever, though, I'm curious what some of your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, my initial thought is that, you know, there's really no escaping it, essentially, unless maybe you're living in isolation, not dealing with people to any extent. And it's a part of life, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes there could be constructive criticism that can help you grow and learn, but then there's also going to be a lot that is probably useless or pointless or unhelpful that we just kind of have to deal with. It's going to be happening, and the fact of the matter is that people have opinions, and they have opinions about what the right way to do something is, and it's, you could take it with a grain of salt depending on who that individual is to you. Are they even an expert in that field of what they're giving you criticisms for? Or are they just basing it on like their own various minimal experience? So I think it's just something we kind of have to, I think, develop that thick skin you were talking about over time and kind of learn to navigate the good versus the not so helpful versions of it.
Yeah, I think that leads nicely into at least what's helped me a lot. And I'd be curious what some of your thoughts are on this. But for me, when I was sort of taking criticism at face value, which is to say, like, I would just take the message as a whole, it was much harder for me to sort of interpret or, I don't know, just like put together in a way that felt useful most of the time. And over time, I sort of decided that, or like found out that there's sort of three parts or components to start looking at. And for me, those three things are, like you mentioned this, who is delivering the message, right? Like who is the person? What do they know? What level of like expertise or authority or influence or whatever else do they have? Because sometimes, for example, like if it's your family member, a close family member, like they may have some amount of influence, or like some, maybe someone that you like respect their opinion in that domain. The other two pieces that I found to be really useful to sort of like pull apart are tone, right? Because you can deliver the exact same message on a spectrum of kindness to unkindness. And that doesn't necessarily change the message, right? So like for me, being able to sort of like identify the tone and start cutting that out, and then focusing on the third piece, which is just like, how useful is the criticism or the content? Like, what can I actually get out of it. Because, for example, I'll go like with my other YouTube channel, right? Mm-hmm. There was a time period where I was getting a lot of comments around like, this sucks. And a lot of comments around like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Neither of those are useful, right? Because there's no information that helps me to like change anything, to grow, to understand like what was good or bad about it for that individual person.
Yeah.
And then going back to that tone piece, right? Like pulling the tone, once you pull the tone out, that there's nothing left in those messages. Mm-hmm. But I was also getting other comments around like, oh, like your voice is like out of tune and sounds really bad. And like the audio quality is not good. And like those things were a little bit more detailed mm-hmm. and they were not phrased that nicely, right? But again, taking the tone of the criticism out, mm-hmm. there was often pieces that I could go like, oh, I could change this. I could work on this. I could improve this. So those are sort of the different parts that I try to put together. And I guess adding back in that who is giving the message piece, there are plenty of times where I got comments from people that were really disparaging that mm-hmm. had their own content up and had like, you know, a video or two. And when I watched those, it was just like, this is not the person that I want to take criticism from. Like, you know, it's not worth my time to go in and like counter criticize them, but just looking at the quality of what they're producing, this is not an opinion that I'm going to want to like try to adapt to. All right. That was a lot of information and rambling, but I'd be curious how any of that lands for you or what you think.
Yeah, no, I agree that, you know, asking the question, do I value this person's input? And, you know, for some people, they just like to ramble and just talk shit about stuff just for the heck of it. And kind of sifting through that and navigating through that can be helpful for your own mental well-being. Because especially if you're getting a lot of criticism, like I think if you're putting yourself out there in, for example, an online space, it's pretty much impossible to not get some negative or mean comments because that's just the nature of the beast and you're putting yourself out there. And to some extent, it's kind of expected, but you know, there could be also a lot of positive feedback as well. So it's kind of how much are you willing to filter out in your own mind? And the other thing I thought about was like, when we're thinking about who is giving the criticism or feedback, to recognize, the thing I wanted to point out was to, because I think of like my mother, essentially, when I think of criticism, because she could be somewhat critical sometimes in that. Given that we have a long history, I've known her my entire life. Even if she's, I mean, it's usually well intentioned, generally. She's not trying to be mean, but she just says things for the sake of feeling like she wants me to do it in a better way or whatever that might be. But even if it's like actually a helpful thing to share with me, I think just because of her past history, I'm more likely to be triggered or react just based on like previous examples that were not helpful or kind of like taken the wrong way or making me feel like I'm bad at what I'm doing and something like that. So I think recognizing, you know, like relationships that are closer to you can sometimes be harder to receive criticism from. And that's actually another thing I've recognized in myself is that I generally don't like, in partnerships or romantic relationships, I don't like to be taught anything by my significant other. Even if they're like an expert in that field, I just don't like to learn from them because it's like, it changes the levels that we're on. Like we're equal partners. So for him to teach me something about engineering, because he's an engineer, of course he would know more about engineering than me, I know there would be resistance to learning it for me. So those are some thoughts that I wanted to share.
Yeah, I think there's a couple good points in there around, so for one thing, you didn't say this explicitly, but you basically said it, which is like, for the relationships that are closer to you, that you have more control over, sort of the flow of criticism, Setting up or at least starting to explore like what are the situations or like structures of criticism or feedback that are most digestible for you, I guess is probably the right way to put that.
Right.
And again, you didn't you didn't say this explicitly, but I have also found a lot of mileage in sort of the idea that some pieces of criticism, regardless of who they are, what the message is, the tone or whatever, just don't feel good. Like emotionally, they don't feel good. They hurt, and I can find myself reactive.
Yeah.
Being aware of sort of that pattern and taking space when that feeling does come up, for me at least, has afforded a ton of space to make better choices, right? For example, I used to often think that if I face some sort of criticism, I needed to respond as quickly as possible.
Right.
There are a very limited number of situations where that's true or useful. And now, so I'll just go back to my YouTube stuff again, but like now when I get a comment that makes me feel something negative, I will almost always ignore it until later. It doesn't mean I ignore it forever, but when I'm in that more reactive state, my response to the message, whether it's useful or not, is usually counterproductive. Right. It's usually like, oh, you're attacking me, I'm going to attack you.
Right.
That's the clearest example. I know that that happens in some of my like closer relationships, and I'm not always able to like slow it down quite as well. But whenever I am more mindful of sort of that pattern, which is like, I receive some criticism, I feel a certain kind of way about it. If I respond now, it is not going to be my best response.
Right.
And I've also found if I do respond in that heightened emotional state, I more often end up on the track of sort of, how do I make myself be right? Instead of how do I actually digest this to see what, if it's useful or not? Because sometimes there is useful information in there, and other times I am right. But if I respond reactively, I usually end up stuck to sort of that track.
Yeah. And when you're in that reactive state of mind, it's just, it's really, you're not really hearing the underlying intention or even like the feedback itself. It could be really super helpful, but you're just caught up in the emotional aspect. And so it just makes it infinitely harder to receive any feedback. And I think of one of the four agreements of just living your life optimally is don't take things personally. And that is easier said than done, obviously. And there's always going to be people with opinions, but if you can kind of not, if this is a practice, it's not easier said than done, but if you can actually not take it personally and kind of sit with it and be with it, and then you can evaluate it in a more non-triggered or non-reactive state, it can, you can choose for yourself to decide if it's helpful or not. But also like take a moment to step back and see, like, generally most of the time they're not trying to hurt your feelings or make you feel like bad as a person. They're usually, it comes from a place of like, oh, love and care and wanting the best for you. And if you can kind of see it from that perspective, being like, even if it's like totally crap feedback, but you can see like, you know, they had good intentions of wanting me to improve in some aspect. So not going to take it personally, but I'm not going to be as reactive when I can step back and look at, you know, why are they sharing this with me? It's like, why is this important? Like, I remember one time, like a mother, I feel like parents in particular, who could probably be the most triggering for criticism. Like they're, I think generally for the most part, they're not trying to like hurt your feelings. It's like almost like an instinct of a parent to try to be helpful in capacity, even if it's not even like, I remember one time when I was back home from college and I was borrowing my mom's car or something. And she said something like something so silly that it's like unnecessary to say. She was like, be sure not to drive in the carpool lane. I was like, why do I don't know that. just was like, I feel it's like their urge to be helpful in some capacity, even if it's like not really gonna do anything for me, and kind of is like, do you think I'm stupid and like not gonna get that I'm not supposed to do that if I'm not in a carpool? But stepping back from my reactiveness, I can see she just wanted to be a mom and be helpful in some degree, and that's the thing that she came up with. So yeah.
Yeah, I think in certain relationships, and you mentioned this, but like the historical patterns make a big difference to how you receive and process criticism. Because for example, if we use that exact same example, if someone else was like, make sure you don't take the carpool lane, you just be like, okay. You know, like right. You would still have to a degree the same reaction of like, okay, like I wasn't gonna do that. But not at the same intensity. Because I think part of what's built in there is sort of that history, but also this idea of like, you have your perspective of what you know. And then when the people close to you give you criticism in a way that feels like it doesn't match on very well.
Yeah.
I feel like it weighs like heavier. I feel like it's an extra like, you should really know that I know this.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes people, you also have to recognize that people just say shit just for the sake of saying, like feeling the need to say something. Sometimes it's not like fully thought out. And, you know, I'm guilty of doing that too on occasion. And I'm sure when I have my kid, I'm probably going to say stupid stuff that was unnecessary.
Well, I think it also plays into, and we mentioned this before, but sort of this natural tendency that people have to feel negative things or focus on negative things more strongly than positive ones.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, those are the things that could potentially hurt you or cause pain or whatever else.
Right.
One of the exercises that I've found useful that I occasionally do when I'm feeling really frustrated with someone close to me for what I feel like is a bunch of criticism is to, and I guess it works for other situations too, like my YouTube channel is another, I'll keep going back to that, but trying to get from this place of feeling very reactive and stuck on a path of like, this person is treating me this way because like they don't understand what's going on and I know it's right and they don't, to a place of a more like balanced and realistic perspective. So the exercise, it goes something like taking from memory, or if I'm really having a bad time, I haven't done this in a long time, but from like recording or some sort of like written or whatever else, like for YouTube, it's easy, but for personal interactions, it's harder. But going through sort of the group of interactions to see what the picture looks like. And often it's way more balanced or way less oppressive than it feels, right? So if I think about some of my like close personal interactions, there are times where I'm like, this person is just like driving me nuts. They're just criticizing me about every little thing. Yeah. But then I start thinking about all of our interactions and I'm like, well, actually they said two things and they said 50 nice things. And it's actually not that bad. Now, this isn't always the case. Like there's definitely been people in my life, I don't need to do the like whole history to like figure out that the balance isn't good. But in general, the people I tend to keep around, and in general, the people that care for me and I care for them are in a positive balance. And the same thing for, again, the YouTube channel, like, yes, there are a number of negative comments, but there are also usually, unless people really hate the video, a number of positive comments to balance it out. And going through that explicitly, like it sounds very simple and trivial, but like actually going through and looking and sometimes even doing like counts for me brings me to a more balanced place of like, cool, like this person isn't always mean to me. This content isn't always hated by everyone. Like there is some subset of interactions or people or whatever else that I don't like and a bunch that are fine or that I do. And that can help me sort of get out of this reactive state a little bit more. I haven't done that recently, but I used to have to do it a lot because I would feel really reactive. Anyway, in a similar vein, I would be curious if you have any exercises or like mental patterns or anything that you've been able to use to help you like diffuse the emotionality of criticism.
Yeah, I mean, I really loved your exercise and what you did for that. And I think you made a really good point about how sometimes we just focus so much on the negative, even there's like 100 positive comments and there's like 2 negative ones. You're like, oh, well, let me get worked up about those 2 negative ones. For me, I mean, I similarly get negative comments on my content occasionally, but it's rare. It doesn't happen, but it bothers me and could bother me for a while. And I think it's just like, you know, it's stepping back from the situation and recognizing like some people just like to be trolls and just be mean and, you know, not actually say anything helpful. And that's just the nature of how it is. And it's totally fine. And, you know, as long as what I'm doing benefits, you know, I feel good with what I'm doing and what I'm putting out. As like, I get criticism for being a naturopathic doctor all the time. Like, I get people are like, oh, they're quack doctors, they're witch doctors, they're both like totally not helpful at all, but also super dangerous, like counteractive like criticism. And it's like, how, if we do absolutely nothing, how can we be so dangerous at the same time? So having to deal with that a lot, especially with my type of medicine, it's like, one, okay, I have to deal with those types of trolls or people that just, I recognize they don't have the full picture probably. They're just, you know, making assumptions based on their experiences. And I've been a naturopathic doctor for over 10 years. I've helped hundreds, maybe even thousands of people at this point. I know what I do helps people and it works. And so I'm going to keep doing it, regardless if I get an occasional negative comment from someone who has never worked with me, for one, probably never worked with a naturopathic doctor, for two, and are just, you know, reading like negative crap about us on the internet and just agreeing it with it because some random person talked about it and was like, this is obviously proof that they're ineffective, but also super dangerous at the same time. So yeah, that's kind of how I deal with it.
Yeah, that relates to another thing that has helped me a lot, which is to try to understand sometimes the type of person that is making the criticism, yeah. Right? Or like you said, sort of like trying to think from their perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
Because some of the comments, like I'm sure you've run into the same thing, but some of the criticisms that I received are like, the degree of negativity varies quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh, I don't really like this, to like, you're a horrible person, you're the worst thing ever, you suck.
Yeah.
And for me, it again helps to diffuse the emotionality a little bit, to like think about like, okay, what kind of person is doing this? Like you said, like some people are just trolls. Some people are just out there saying whatever.
Wanna work, make people upset, basically.
Yeah. And some people are either misinformed or just disagree.
Yeah.
And I have always found it useful, like the more that I'm able to dissect some of this stuff, the easier it is to process. I don't know if that's true for everyone,
yeah.
But for me, seeing more of those pieces and more of the like spectrum of the experience, as opposed to, again, in the early days, it was just like, this person hates my stuff, or me. Sometimes they hate me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that doesn't feel good. And then like living in that space was never useful.
Yeah, definitely. It kind of reminds me of another incident of, sort of related, is that when I was back in the dating world and on the apps many years ago, and I had a really, what I thought was a really good first date, and we had scheduled a second date, and then before second date, he was like, actually, I just don't think it's going to work. And then he didn't explain why, basically ghosted me. I got super worked up and because I was like, well, why did you schedule in the first place? And I thought everything was fine. And I was like, was it something I said? Was it something I did? Was it like all this dark spiraling and just obsessing over it? And then I was like, I had to step back and think, you know, do I really want to be with someone who doesn't want to go out with me and will not explain the reason why? No. I just was like, no, why am I obsessing about this? And why am I so like wanting to know the reason? And really, ultimately, I don't care. I don't want to be with this person who doesn't want to be with me, obviously. So ultimately, kind of similarly relating it to our topic today, it's just like, if they're giving you criticism, is it really worth your time and effort to receive it when it's someone you're not going to care about ultimately? And yeah, why obsess about it?
As you were talking about that, it sort of opened up the topic for me around like one of the things about criticism that can make it so difficult and why it helps to sort of think about like the mm-hmm. author and all those different pieces is many times criticism comes in a form that feels like it's an attack on you as a person.
Right. Yeah.
And if you are well balanced, mm-hmm. it's easier to pull apart sort of like, this is an attack on things I'm doing or like the way I'm doing things.
Right.
And this is an attack on me. And when you're less sort of, mature or practiced in this, it can all feel like one thing, you know, like when someone says that they don't want to go on a second date with you or whatever, mm-hmm. it feels like an attack on who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Which I imagine is probably why it felt so pressing to like, did I do something wrong? Right. Yeah. So that you can more easily move it from one bucket to the other and go like, nope, it's not who I am as a person. Like it's this thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is very common in criticism, both like people giving it, they can give it in a way that makes it feel like who you are as a person is under attack.
Yeah.
And receiving it, like it's very easy to just like go from, oh, they don't like my work, like they think I'm a bad person, you know, like it's very easy to have those things tangled up. But I feel like what's most useful is to sort of pull those things apart wherever you can.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are not going to like who you are as a person. Like sometimes that is the intent. Sometimes the intent is to say like or criticize who you are as a person. But I don't think that it's very useful to spend any space receiving that criticism, because what are you going to do? Like if they don't like who you are as a person, then what are you going to do? Like,
yeah.
If it's actions or things that you're doing or ways of behaving or whatever else, you have much more flexibility to actually do something about it. So mm-hmm. that's just one more piece that I thought of as you were talking about it. That's been really helpful for me to digest more criticism and also give criticism in a way that's more useful.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was curious about your thoughts about someone who is actually in your life, not necessarily an online troll, but in your life in some capacity, whether it's family or romantic relationships. Like and you sense that they're generally a critical person. That's how you would label them or describe them. It's like, to some degree, it's like you can't change people, but potentially you can have a conversation and see if that can be altered or if that person can be less critical with practice and time. Do you think that's possible, or how would you go about that conversation?
Yeah, I can 100% think of an example. Mm-hmm. No, I won't say who it is, but there is someone in my family that is extremely critical all the time to pretty much everyone else in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's possible for people to become less critical or to become critical in ways that are more useful. So mm-hmm. sort of like you mentioned earlier, her intent is always good.
Right.
But the structure of the messaging is awful.
Yeah.
And the tone is awful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the messages themselves are not useful, even if you take that away. But I think that's the real problem, is like, Many people will have sort of this desire or need to sort of like give criticism or give advice or feedback or whatever. The first piece that they could work on is their like packaging, right? The delivery, the tone, those sorts of things. This person that I'm thinking of, I have tried to have multiple conversations because they're critical of me, but I feel okay to management, but they're critical of other people in the family in a way that is very hurtful for them because they don't have as many tools or the relationship history is different. And like, so I told them, right? I think if it was something that the person was open to, they would very, I don't know, easily is not the right word, but very much so be able to change some of those patterns, even if they wanted to continue like giving unsolicited feedback and whatever else. The way that it's done matters a lot, especially for close relationships. Because if I've told you 500 times that like you're not a good person or you're not good enough because you're doing X, Y, and Z instead of A, B, and C, you've built up a debt of sort of these hurtful criticisms. And that's another piece of what I think would be a difficult transition process, even if the person is willing to start moving in that direction. They not only have to deal with the sort of their original pattern of behavior, like their very criticizing negative behavior, they also have to deal with the damage they've already inflicted on those relationships, right? They have to like dig themselves out of sort of that problem. So this person, for example, like I've had those conversations multiple times, nothing has changed at all. And it's hard because the quality of the relationship and conversations that we can have now is very diminished, because when I call them, and I still try to keep in touch with them to some degree, I already know it's just going to be like an hour or two of them telling me how I'm not a good person or not doing enough. And each year I feel less and less inclined to make that conversation or to visit or whatever. So to answer your question, I think it's possible. But I personally have been in the situation where like doing that didn't make a difference, and really the only option was to sort of limit the relationship.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think the key takeaway you were sharing was that, you know, what is their openness to, like, how open are they to receive feedback and criticism of their own criticism, essentially? And I think that that can make a difference, because some people aren't open to that and don't want to change. And but for like myself, I've probably been described as critical at some point, but I think I've learned and evolved. Hopefully I'm not described as critical by most people these days, but I would be unaware. But if someone was like, hey, I feel like you're really critical of me all the time, and maybe it's me wanting to give advice or something, one thing I have learned as far as advice giving goes is do they want it? Asking the question like, hey, you know, I have some thoughts or suggestions on how you can deal with this situation. Are you open to hearing it? And if not, totally fine. I'm like, okay, I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll just be here to be a support, and I don't have to share any of my thoughts. You don't have to receive it. And like assessing if are they in a space to receive the feedback or criticism or not, or do they just need someone to vent to, or someone to have listen to them. So that's one way that I feel like I've grown, and I think it is possible for some people, but it really depends on their openness.
That's going to be the key factor for really most of the things we talk about. Which is And there are, I guess, there are a few levers you can pull that we didn't talk about yet, but like, it didn't work for me. However, doing things or like showing people their impact in the way that they're delivering these messages, right? Like, for my example, it's like the intent is good, right? So it's like, if you can get them into a conversation around like, hey, I feel like you are trying to do things that are useful. And it's way easier if you're talking about it for some other relationship besides your own relationship. But like, hey, I feel like you're trying to say things that are, that you think are useful or going to be useful for this other person. Mm-hmm. But the way that you're doing it is going to make them the least likely to follow, right, sort of your advice or to listen to that criticism. Or like, hey, it's actually like damaging the relationship. In this case, it didn't work, but in other cases, sort of talking through impact instead of, or like leading with sort of a more big picture topic has, yeah, made it easier to eventually drill down into like, yeah, like you can't, if you tell someone that they're stupid for pursuing a career in teaching instead of in finance, like that's not going to change their mind. Like, right, that's not the way to do it.
Right.
But starting from that position of sort of like telling them sort of the specifics or trying to work with the specifics without getting buy-in on the bigger picture, I found doesn't work quite as well as like getting them anchored in on like, oh, the relationship is valuable to me. And then from there going like, how do I work through this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. With that example of, you know, sharing, like, if someone wanted to go into teaching versus finance, which is valid, I think it's, if you can restructure it in a way, and it's ultimately, you have to understand it's their choice. But if you want to have like some impactful input in their choice, you know, calling anyone stupid is not really going to be very productive generally, and they're going to resent you and probably resist whatever you say. But if you frame it in the capacity of like, hey, you know, if you were to go into finances, you realize this is the average salary annually of a person in finances versus teaching. And like, what is your cost of living going to be? So it's just like evaluating it more from a practical standpoint and just like giving more information, but ultimately giving them the space to make their own decisions will probably be better received than just being insulted.
Yeah. And I think, one of the other critical pieces is to sort of like, you should really be asking first, mm-hmm, before you start weighing in on stuff, you know, definitely, like if you don't understand well why the person is making a choice and then start, mm-hmm, criticizing it, you are very unlikely to make much headway, right? Like anyone choosing, well, stick with the example, but like pretty much anyone choosing teaching over finance knows the salary differences, right?
Yeah,
like
they
know
that,
the potential income differences, right? So like, and I'm speaking almost from an exact personal example, but it's like they already know that, so the criticism is not helpful really, and you would quickly be able to figure it out with a few questions, right? If it's like, hey, mm-hmm, like how do you plan to, I don't know, mm-hmm, budget, knowing that you're not going, like that this career path only has like this ceiling or whatever else. Those kinds of questions can open up an actual conversation where you can still raise your concerns.
Yeah.
But without doing it in a way that feels like extra critical and is less likely to be productive. Because again, I don't know about you, but I cannot tell you the number of times that this specific person has criticized me in a way that they're trying to give me advice about something that I very clearly already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. All right. Well, I think we covered this topic pretty well. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I think the biggest gain I've made in this realm is, mm-hmm, sort of picking apart the different aspects of the, mm-hmm, criticism to be able to understand it better and figure out what's useful or not. So if anyone is struggling because they feel like criticism extra heavily, mm-hmm, that's at least an angle to try. I don't know if it'll work for everybody, but it did wonders for me. So that's my last piece.
Yeah, I think that is helpful, and it doesn't hurt to try. All right. Thank you everyone for tuning in this week. We appreciate you. And if you appreciate us, be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and help spread the happiness in the world. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Happy Talks with Dr. Allison Donovan.
We hope you got something of value to help bring a little more happiness into your life. What lesson or takeaway did you get from today's episode?
For more tips and tools, be sure to check out my website at dralicefong.com, and you can find me on my social media handles at Dr. Alice Fong.
You can find me at howtohappy.com and follow me on my social media handles at howtohappy. Catch you next time.